As you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 16, I want to take this time to welcome all the people watching and listening over the internet and over the CDs and DVDs. We are international with all these messages. Just so you know, people are coming to the website and they're listening, they're watching and downloading videos at the rate of 50,000 plus per month. And I know, I see the numbers. And this is only the beginning. And it's because of God's obedience and your obedience to Him in helping to finance and defer the costs for doing that, that we can do that and a lot more. So God thanks you, and I thank you. John chapter 3, we're going to read verses 16 through 18. And first of all, read that in whichever translation you have. I have the King James translation. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Please read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And as I like to do, I like to read it in a different translation, this time the Message translation, which reads, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him." When I was preparing for this message, and when the Lord gave me the topic and the title, I looked back to other lessons I've taught in Bible class and church school, and a number of those had to deal with God's relationship with man, intimacy, the heart of God, and I didn't see that until the Lord showed me what he wanted me to teach on tonight. And I will get to the topic in a second. But before I do that, speaking of God's relationship with man, just want to give you a real brief cliff note, if you will, summary of the Bible and share with you the Bible essentially, when you get right down to it, describes God's relationship with man. The Bible tells us God created man in his image and after his likeness. Now, in Genesis chapters 1 through 3, we see God walking with man, talking with man all day, every day. Man had one-to-one relationship with God. We see from Genesis chapter 4 through the end of the Old Testament, now God's relationship with man has changed. God spoke to prophets, prophets spoke to men. Genesis chapter 4 through the end of the Old Testament, we see God's relationship with man as God the Father. Then we go to the Gospels. We have God incarnate in the form of Jesus now walking the earth. Now more people have access to him, and his relationship with man is in the form of God the Son. Then in the epistles and now, we have God in our spirits, God in our heart. So God's relationship with man is now God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, Genesis 4 through end of Old Testament, God the Son in the Gospels, and God the Holy Spirit, the epistles and now. I share that because one of the characteristics of that relationship that I'm going to share on tonight is man's ability to praise God, or I should say God's desire for man to praise him. So as I'm speaking, please turn to two openings. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21, and John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Isaiah 43, verse 21, and John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21, first from the New King James translation, which reads, "These people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise." And now I'll read that from the Message Bible. But before I do that, has anyone ever had something custom made for them? A suit, a dress, say your wedding tux or your wedding dress or graduation. You've had something custom made for you, right? Hello?
Yes.
Now, when you have that custom made, you went to the person and you gave them certain specifications that you wanted, or you went to them and they gave you a fitting, right? Hello? Okay.
Yes.
To have that, thank you, Deacon Rosemary, to have that, say, article of clothing custom made for you. Or it could have been some other object you had custom made. One of the objectives of having something custom made is that it's made to your liking and to your specifications. And it's made only for you. Nobody else could wear that. Why? Because it was custom made for you. And besides, you'd hurt them if they tried. No, I'm kidding, but it was made for you. So Isaiah 43:21 from the Message Bible, listen to this, says, "The people I made especially for myself, a people custom made to praise me." You are a people custom made to praise God. John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. In the New King James translation, it says, Jesus, this is Jesus talking to the woman at the well. Jesus said to her, verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The Message translation says, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews, but the time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you're called will not matter and where you go to worship will not matter. It's you who are, and it's who you are, pardon me, and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him, those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration." It's interesting that Deacon Tony received to look up messages on praise. As we experience here tonight, and as we have been experiencing for the past few months, there has been a change. There has been an increase, I would say, a new level in the praise and worship that's come forth through here the last few months. Would you agree with that? And those songs were chosen specifically because of the words and because of how they fit into the message, but most importantly, because of how they help lead us into praise and worship. We're experiencing a different season of praise here at RLCC. And I see many faces who've been here 15, 20, 25 years or more, and we've gone through a number of phases. We're going through now a new phase of praise, or a new season of praise. That is the message title for tonight. A new season of praise. What is praise? I'll give you an analogy. Praise is the vehicle that takes us to worship. We get in our praise with the destination of what? Of worshiping the Lord. Give you an example. Our vehicle, and many of you, have navigation systems. When you get in the car, you have to punch in where you want to go, right? And the system will detect where it is and how long. Then it will say, route guidance will start when you proceed. Now, if you don't proceed, route guidance will not start. You can sit there at the wheel, car running. If you don't proceed, route guidance will not start. As you start up, route guidance will now tell you which way to go, which roads to take, where to turn. And when you get there, what happens? Route guidance says you have reached your destination. Route guidance has ended. Right? In our praise to God and worship to God, our goal and our praise is worship. We get in the praise. We set it to worship. And what happens now? The Holy Spirit guides us where to turn, right? Which road to take? What does that mean? Which songs to sing? What to play? The dance? The raising of hands? All that is designed for what? To get us to our destination. What is the destination? I can hear you. What's the destination? Now, I grew up, and many of you did, in churches where praise was praise for praise's sake. Right? Praise was for you. Hello, is this working? Okay, it's okay. Talk to me. Praise was praise for praise's sake. You come in, you dance, you sing, you leave and you go, boy, we had a good time. What did the rev say? I don't know. But we had a good time. They didn't know. The object of our praise is to get into worship. We get into the car, we set the GPS for worship, and the Holy Spirit, as happened tonight, guides us into worship. Turn to Psalm 100. And while you're doing that, just make a notation of Exodus chapter 25. We're not going to read Exodus 25. I'll describe it to you. Exodus 25 is the beginning chapter of the building of the tabernacle. Now, before I get there, those who have been here for a while, you've heard Pastor Clinton refer to the Old Testament and tell us, among other things, the Old Testament is filled with How many remember? Two words. Someone said it. Types. There you go. Yeah, you go. You were paying attention. Types and shadows. So what I'm going to share with you is a type or a shadow of something, or a model, if you will. Not a formula, but a model. In Exodus 25, where you look at the building of the tabernacle, God gives certain instructions. Now, when you say this is the center of the tabernacle, so let's say this is the Holy of Holies. Use your imagination. Okay? You with me now? This is the center. This is the Holy of Holies. This is where they want to go, because God said he will be here and speak to them here. Now, in the tabernacle, you had an inner court. So once again, imagination on, okay? So let's say there's a line around here. And this is the inner court. You with me? Now, let's say if I cross that line, this line, this area now, is the outer court. Now, the tabernacle also had gates. So use your imagination and picture this is the gate. Okay? So this is the gate. I come through the gate. I come into the outer court. Okay? It's okay to talk to me. Okay. Then I go into the inner court, heading towards where? Heading towards the Holy of Holies. Are you with me? Good. Thank you. Psalm 100. It's a short psalm. In fact, if you have that, just read with me. Psalm 100, begin in chapter 1 and verse 1. Psalm 100, verse 1, please read. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Verse 4 says what? So the gate is here. So am I thanksgiving when I enter or before I enter? Okay. Come on. It's okay. Good. Okay. Now enter to his gate and then what? Into his court. This, we have the outer court. We have the inner court. And into his courts with praise. So the analogy that's being used here in Psalm 100 is referring to the tabernacle. Now, I'll get to where we are now. Once again, we're talking about a type and a shadow, in this case, of Jesus. But the psalmist says here, enter his gates with what? Enter into his courts with what? Then it says what? Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That word thanksgiving, I'll give you three words. I'm going to cover. Todah, Tehillah, and yada. It's not a law firm. That's a thing working. So first, like that, huh? Todah, Tehillah, and yada. Esquire. Okay. First, the word thanksgiving, where it says enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with todah. To lift or extend one's hands in praise and adoration. The tenor of that word means you're casting your cares onto the Lord, or as they say in Australia, no worries. That's the tenor or spirit of that word. And into his courts with praise. That's tehillah, not tequila. Tehillah. That was good. Tequila. A celebration, a lauding, lauding, of someone praiseworthy. That comes from the word halal, which is where we get the word hallelujah. Halal meaning bless, the you meaning you, Jah, Jehovah, or God. Now, that word is an imperative. Now, you folks who didn't go to school in the Bronx, an imperative means it's a command or a directive. So, hallelujah is saying, bless the Lord, or praise the Lord. So, this word, tehillah, is a root, is from the root of the word hallelujah. Don't turn there. Psalm 34, verse 1, where it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's the same word, tehillah. Be thankful. Verse 4 of Psalm 100, where it says, be thankful unto him. That's our third word from a law firm, yada. Yada, the prefix yad, meaning open hands. Ah, meaning to Jehovah. It really means the thrusting of the hands, giving thanks and confession, generally in a large setting like we are now. You don't have to look at this, but write this down. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where you have the march around and they stop and shout out, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. That's an example of yada. So going through this analogy of Psalm 100 and what I showed you, the entering of the gate, or the entering with the praise, okay, Lord, I love you, I praise you, I worship you, but the goal is to what? The goal is to get into worship. The goal is to get into where? The Holy of Holies. There is a direction, like Porgy and Bess here, there's a direction, or there's a purpose or a direction for our praise. It's not just praise unto itself, we're, as you can build with, we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. We're not just stopping at the praise. The goal is to get into the whole, exactly, worship, the Holy of Holies, but we begin with the thanksgiving and the praise, and that brings us into the worship. We set the GPS to worship. The GPS tells us what's the best route, how to get there, how long it'll take us to get there. And when we get there, it says what? You have reached your destination. Route guidance will discontinue. This past Sunday and Friday, well, I'll go this way. Now, this is me. You folks are smarter than me, okay? When I used to hear the exhortation, press in, press in, press in, I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant. To press into what? To where? For who? When? How? I didn't know. This is what that's meaning. I say that because I know this past Sunday and Friday night, we've heard Pastor Judy and Pastor Jesse saying, press in, press in, press in. And we've been pressing in, pressing in, pressing in, right? To a newer, higher level of praise and worship. Why? Because the GPS is being set in those services with Pastor Jesse, Pastor Judy, and the goal is set to worship, and the Holy Spirit gives Pastor Jesse, in this case, what to sing, how to sing it, where to go, to what? To lead us into our goal, which is what? Dr. Ron Canole, many of you have heard of him, pardon me, said, or used the following example. Well, he made the following statement. Praise and worship is the only part of most church services that's for God. And now think about that. Announcements for God. Pre-service music for God. Could be. The message for God or for us? For us. The choir singing. The choir singing. Not the choir. The choir singing. Hello? Okay. Could be. And yet we've been in churches where all that was good, but yet what? You never got into worship. That's the goal. He used the analogy of you gave a party at your place. The party's for you. Folks show up, they eat, they drink, they dance, they drink your booze, everything. The good stuff, you know? Oh, come on, you folks have been there. Come on. Am I the only one? Okay. Right? I mean, they even drank the Colt 45 malt liquor. Okay? They had a good time. They'd leave wasted. The place is a mess. Now it's your party. Okay? At your place, it's for you. They showed up, didn't acknowledge you one bit, had their good time, and left. And hit the door. How would you feel? Tired? Well, that's it. Now, how would you think God would feel if we came to the party, i.e. service, went through all the motions, had a good time, but didn't get to worship, didn't get to acknowledge the person who threw the party? It's in his place. We came, well, we had a good time. We leave it. And the person, the party who was for, is ignored. Why? Because we forgot the goal. It's all for a purpose to get to worship. Are you with me? You still friends? Okay, good. What's the purpose of, well, purpose of worship? I'll give you a few ideas. To create an environment for God to manifest his presence. We've been seeing that happen, like I shared, at a new level these past several months. To create an environment for God to manifest his presence. True worship, now we heard John Bevere say worship is not a slow song. Remember that? True worship is not merely in the songs, but rather in our hearts. Dr. Cannoli says, the worship we feel for God in our hearts should be manifested out of our mouths. Pastor Clinton taught us what? Praise is the fruit of our lips. Worship is the fruit of our... Oh, you paying attention. Are you a good student? Praise is the fruit of our lips. Worship is the fruit of our lives. So ultimately, our worship for God is to be manifested where? In our lives. Let's look at some scriptural examples of what happens with worship. Where is my page? Okay, here we go. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Going to read verses 14 through 23. Talking about a new season of praise. I should have said a new season of praise and worship, but you get what I mean, right? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 23. I'm going to read, I believe this is from a New King James translation. Follow me in yours. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then among the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who was skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey, loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and the young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. Verse 21, so David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. What's my place? What do you? And he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. Verse 23, and so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. First of all, Saul knew who to ask for. He knew to get, in this case, the psalmist. He knew if he did that, certain things would happen. This last part of the verse says what? Saul became refreshed, well, and what? And the distressing spirit departed from him. When you're in an atmosphere of praise and worship, be it here, in your vehicle, at home, now, I give you a warning. If you're driving, praise responsibly. Okay? Because you can get up in the hand, going into TODA, but your car's not in TODA. Okay? Your car could be totaled. Okay? You may go here sooner than you want to. So if you're driving, please praise responsibly. Okay? But wherever you are, at work, what I do at home, I'll turn on the computer and put on music in the morning to play throughout the day. That atmosphere of praise will do what? It will cause distressing spirits. They can't enter into an atmosphere of praise. They're like, they get praise them, and they're gone. The atmosphere of praise will refresh you. Can I be real with you? Don't tell anyone, all right? Just between you and us, okay? Got you and me, okay? All right, good. My body was tired today. My body wanted to doze off. No, my body dozed off today, okay, during the day. I knew I had to be not just here tonight, but ready tonight. I got into that song, William Murphy, Praise is What I Do, okay, and I was refreshed. The atmosphere of praise can heal. We've seen it. Pastor Jesse playing, Pastor Judy calls, people come down, and in that atmosphere, well, what happened? We went through the model, not the formula, the model, because the formula says I put in this much and this much and this much and I get that. No, the model of praise, entering the gates, thanksgiving, courts with praise, and what happens? When you're in worship, the atmosphere is set for God to manifest his presence. And some results of that can be a refreshing, a healing, and the removal of distressing spirits. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 5, please. Going to read verses 11 through 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Verse 11, and it came to pass, when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linens, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding the trumpets. So figured Phil Driscoll 120 times, okay? That's some sound, all right? Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And I just saw this yesterday. Once again, you folks are smarter than me. I just saw this yesterday. And when they lifted up their voice, not their voices, when they lifted up their, when they, plural, lifted up their, plural, voice, singular, with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud. Pastor Judy shared that, I think it was Sunday or Friday night. She saw a cloud. What's that? Was filled with a cloud so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the cloud. We had a taste of that tonight. Deacon Tony came down, but we were still in the cloud. He had to, I think I heard Deacon Fowler say, just hold up, hold on, hold on. Still in the cloud. Right. Because the praise was such that the priest could not get up to share. Why? I'll go through it again. They made one sound. I'm sorry. Verse 13. Indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one. Were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, the importance of unity in praise. When they lifted up their voice, not when they're checking their iPad for a verse, not when they're dozing off, not when they're texting, not when they're sitting, not when they're not paying attention. And once again, we've heard Pastor Judy say this, when everybody stand up, everybody lean over, everybody raise your hands. Why? Because there's unity when there's one voice, and that one voice causes things to happen. That one voice causes us to get from the outer court into the inner court and into the Holy of Holies. Why? So God can manifest his presence. And we are the recipients of that. Are you still with me? Good. I had one more. Oh, yes. Okay. New Season of Praise. I said earlier, those songs were selected by the Holy Spirit because of this topic. Now, I only saw this after I put the list together. Except for the narrative of "To Him Who Sits on the Throne," all those, none of those songs were in our library a year ago. Many were not here 3 or 6 months ago. They're not new, but they were new to us. Because God knew there'd be a time when we need songs like that and others. What's he doing? He's changing up on us, taking us into a new season. Now, if you're anything like me, sometimes you hear a style of music and you go, that can't be God. What's with that? That can't be God. Now, I grew up in black church, okay? And I would, the Reverend Duncan's wife, Mother Duncan, let's say the organ is here and the wall's here, she would be here playing the organ, okay? The children's section was here, facing her. Now, she had long feet and long arms. Long feet and long arms. So what she would do on the Hammond B3, she'd have her left heel shoe on, and this foot, the right foot, would just be barefoot, and she'd be, you know, moving. That's what I was accustomed to as church music. So even once again, between you and I, secret, okay? We good? Scouts honor? When I first came here, I was like, and I heard the praises. I'm like, that's not church music. No one's jumping. No one's rolling. No one's foaming at the mouth. No one's falling over. And where's the organ? There's no organ. And they're black, too. What's up with that? It was a different style of music than what I was used to. Now, once again, you know, you're smarter than me. What's been happening the past 6, 9 months, year? God has been what? He's been exposing us to different styles of music. In addition to Pastor Clinton and Morris Chapman and the Binions, and some folks may say, well, I don't know. I want some. But it's all God. And you've seen tonight, and we've seen the past several months, doesn't matter to God. He will take any type of music and use it for his purpose. Dr. Ron Canole made a statement describing praise and worship. He said, praise is cultural. Worship is spiritual. Every culture has their style and type of praise. My wife's from Kenya, East Africa. They have their own style of praise. How many folks here were not born in the U.S.? Raise your hand. You were not born? Country. Haiti. Trinidad. Jamaica. Who else? Trinidad. Mexico. Over here, I saw some. Colombia. Virgin Islands. Dominican Republic. Canada. Okay. Oh, Canada. Okay. Nova Scotia. Eh? Okay. All different countries, and they all have different styles of praise. Styles of praise that's unique to their culture. Praise is cultural. But now when you have your praise and you come in and you get into worship, the worship is spiritual. There's no culture there. It could be a Hammond B3. It could be an acoustic guitar. It could be just a tambourine. It could be a merengue. Who else? Instruments. Some from your country. Trumpets from your country. Bagpipes. Steel. There you go. That maraca. That's all cultural. But when they get to praise, there's no cultural boundary. Why? Because thank you. Worship. I know I'm just testing you. When they get to worship, it's what? It's spiritual. And I say that as a, you know, to help some people. What is this music? Let God do it. Why? We're in a new season of praise. And God, as we've seen and we will see and we'll see in the new building, Pastor Clinton said what? They won't look like us. They won't dress like us. They won't smell like us. Get what? They won't praise like us. They won't. That's not their culture. But as we and they are led by the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? Those cultures are all going to lead us to what? Which is spiritual. Are you with me? Pastor Judy Hines, December 31st, 2009, that was a Thursday, if you remember, it was Thursday night. It was, I'm serious. The message was called A Synchronized Moment. Pastor, oh, you remember that. Pastor shared the following. We need a strategy, effective strategy at doing God's work. And we need to keep in mind that we can do it better. How many of you know that we do chicken in America a million ways? Then Japan came, and they do chicken a million ways. China came, This is all in America. And they all say it's chicken. Have you noticed that Kentucky Fried, Popeyes, Bojangles, and churches are neighbors and nobody is closing down? Because people like us who do not believe, that it's a meal without chicken line up every day to buy chicken. What am I saying? We are going to have to become a people who embrace diversity. We're going to have to quit saying we want something new and something fresh, and we're still operating from the old. As a matter of fact, we need to understand that God has shifted, and wherever God shifts, we need to shift where God is. Even if it's a place that's uncomfortable and unfamiliar. We have to be concerned about strategizing so that we will obtain kingdom realities. It is about kingdom. We need a strategy at doing the work of God more efficiently. That means we might have to change the guard. It is not good for us to get stuck in stuff, thinking that what we were doing yesterday, I can say it, is what God wants us to do today. As a matter of fact, if you get a degree today, it is obsolete tomorrow. The only way you have the total picture is if you have the Holy Ghost, because He's all-knowing and guides you into all truth. She went on to say, some of us are in spiritual obsolescence status because we fail to change when God says change. Tradition is a spirit, may I say a bad spirit, because we fail to change when God says change. Tradition is a spirit, may I say, a bad spirit, because it keeps you with one foot in the past and one foot forward. And that is a crippling effect. How many of you know that maybe you don't like change, but if you're going to grow, you're going to have to change, and you're going to have to embrace something new? It's a new season of praise here at RLCC. God's desire is to continue to bring us to higher and higher and higher and higher levels. He's been changing and will continue to change how we praise, but however, his MO or his goal is still the same, to lead us to, he's preparing us for those people in the new building who are coming. And once again, they won't look like us. They won't smell like us. They won't dress like us. They won't praise like us. However, God's purpose is to want to bring them and us to the point where we all join together into worship. It's a new season of praise at RLCC. Jump in. I'm done. Say the Holy Spirit's done. Praise you, Lord.